Popkammeret.
Gledelig jul, du hører på Popkammeret, podcasten hvor Einar 27 år streber mot musikknerdingen Einar 17 år holdt på med, nemlig å finne ukjent, fantastisk musikk man kan dele videre. Jeg heter Einar Stray og har vanligvis en artistgjest på besøk, men akkurat I denne episoden lar jeg gjestene mine få juleferie og graver heller I arkivet. Der finnes en samtale jeg hadde med selveste Saint Vincent for NRK P3 I 2014. Gitarheltinna velger ut to favorittlåter. Vi diskuterer dessuten personlige tekster, uttrykket soft change, gråtende ukrainske menn, samt å jobbe med kontraster. Men før vi tar tidsmaskina fatt og reiser tilbake til Rockefellers backstage med et stykk Annie Clark I sofaen, så synes jeg vitterlig du bør sjekke ut følgende artister og låter. Jeg kan ikke dy meg. Godspeed You Black Emperor ute med et nytt album, og jeg kan bare ikke drive en musikkpodcast uten å avspille litt av kanadiernes apokalyptiske, mesterlige dronelåter. Et soleklart favorittband med like soleklart politisk ladd musikk. De kjent som grunnleggerne av sjangeren postrock, selv om de nekter å assosieres med den slags kommersielle journalistiske svinerimerkelapper. Dette en sta, anarkist, tendenserende og utilgjengelig gruppe kvinner og menn som nesten aldri har stilt opp til intervju og som produserer den tristeste, mest storslagende og vakreste instrumentalrocken som finnes I min bok. Et musikerkollektiv som yter stor respekt hos mange. Etter en 10-års dvale har det legendariske bandet returnert og gitt ut mange gode album de siste par åra. En av mine sterkeste konsertopplevelser var nettopp da denne gjengen avsluttet Øyafestivalens sjøsidescene I solnedgang en deilig augustkveld. Deres nye skive Luciferian Towers må være en av de første gangene jeg har hørt bandet spille I dur. Dette Godspeed You Black Emperor og låta Famine. I sommer var jeg med å spille I vielsen til noen venner av meg. To musikanter som ble kone og mann. Kirkerommet ble derfor fylt med mangt et musikkinslag. Blant Radiohead og salmer spilte vi parets yndling når det kommer til kjærlighetslåter, nemlig Judy Sill med sangen The Kiss. Judy Sill var og en religiøs hippie, en kjent og kjær 70-talls singer-songwriter som står bak noen av de mest velkomponerte popballadene der ute. Finn fram mistelteinen, dette Judy Sill med The Kiss.
Thank you.
Texas-fødte Annie Clark går under artistnavnet Saint Vincent og uten tvil en av de mest kredible og grensesprengende kunstnerne I popmusikken om dagen. Helt enkelt en låtskriver, sanger og ikke minst elgitarist av verdensklasse. Hun lanserte nylig sitt femte album Mass Seduction til stor hyllest med promorunde hos alle de største talkshowene I USA og England. Mye har skjedd siden jeg så Annie alene med gitaren varme opp for Grizzly Bear I 2009 fra samarbeidsalbum og verdensturné med David Byrne til Nirvana-gjenforening da Annie Clark ble valgt som Kurt Cobains stedsfortreder til lansering av sin egen elgitarmodell til paparazzi og Hollywood-kjør rundt kjæresteriet med superstjernen Cara Delevingne har det alltid vært krystallklart at Clark setter kunsten først. Det var derfor med skrekk blandet fryd jeg sa ja til oppdraget om å intervjue henne for Petre Ruben sin spalte artist møter artist. Dette rett før Saint Vincent ble tildelt Grammy og virkelig ble en verdensstjerne. Jeg ble forståelig nok ganske nervøs av bare tanken på å møte en av mine største helter. Jeg tuslet av likevel med tørr munn, skranten engelsk og stemmeskiftetendenser, målrettet inn backstage på Rockefeller november 2014. Der satt Annie Clark I sofaen med solbrillene på og strålte ut rockestjernevibber lang vei. Det ble I midlertid fort god stemning, I det Annie etter hvert tok av seg brillene, la seg langflat på magen I sofaen, plantet kjakan I hendene, festet blikket I oppriktig nysgjerrighet, og nøyde seg ikke med å svare på mine medbrakte intervjuspørsmål. Hun hadde jaggu noen spørsmål til meg også. Hvordan det hele utartet seg, skal du straks få høre her I popkammeret. Først, la oss vittlig lytte til Saint Vincents nyeste single, Los Angeles. In Los Angeles, the winter never comes. In Los Angeles, the mothers milk their young, but I can keep running, no, I can keep running. The Los Angeles hang out by the bar, burn the pages of unwritten memoirs.
Superstars, girls in cages playing their guitars, but how can I leave? I just follow the hood of my car. Oh, in Los Angeles, the waves they never break, they build and build until you don't have no escape. But how can I leave? I just follow to the sea.
So Annie, it's really nice to meet you. I'm a super duper mega fan of you.
Oh my god, thank you so much.
It's really cool to get to ask these three silly questions.
It's great to speak to another artist.
Especially on this album, the new album, but also through your whole career, I think. You seem to always work with contrasts. Is that something that you agree with?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a part of life that you sort of don't really know when you're happy until you're really sad, or you know, you kind of have to create just in that kind of Hegel synthesis way. I like things that are beautiful, and I also like things that are disturbing, and so if you put them together, I've always been curious to see what kind of alchemy that creates.
Yeah, because I think there is a lot of ugliness as well in your art. It's some parts are really beautiful and pretty, and suddenly something really ugly comes along, something noisy.
Mm-hmm.
For example, your guitar playing, it sounds sometimes pretty fucked up and pretty harsh. Do you need ugliness in order to make your art?
The truth is that it just comes out very naturally. I don't really psychoanalyze it a whole lot, except when I'm at the point of needing to say something quasi-intelligent about it for interviews. It's just intuitive, and I'm not sure where that comes from. I imagine that there's, like with everyone, a current of, you know, anger boiling in my veins, as much as other things.
Yeah. Well, even though the musical side and the production side of St. Vincent really impresses me and really inspires me tremendously, I always been fancying your lyrics the most. And as I see it, in general, it seems like you're reflecting this daily life melancholy from living in a really screwed up world at times. That's at least my general opinion. How much of your lyrics are personal?
All of my lyrics are personal. They may not always be super duper literal, but I don't think you can write about things you don't know, be it melancholy or grief or joy. There's so many things that are really, really, really personal, and things I wouldn't even necessarily tell a friend or tell a stranger, but somehow when it's in the context of music, it's safe and it goes to the end that hopefully it will reach the collective consciousness and reach people's hearts.
Is it important for you to be personal in your art?
I just don't know another way to be. I mean, I believe the old adage that the personal is political. You know, I believe in soft change. I believe in the power of art to have tentacles that are a lot further than you can even imagine or intend, because I know the transformative power that art has had on me, so I just have to make that leap that it happens with other people too. Yeah,
that's why we do this, right?
Yeah, exactly.
What was the last record or artist that totally blew you away?
The last record or artist that totally blew me away. I'm quite fond of the new Perfume Genius record.
Mm. What is it about Perfume Genius that you find so great?
I love the aspect to it that feels like outsider art. The melodies are really great. It's really good songs and that are go straight to the heart, but they're also perverse and kind of full of pain.
Singing through your body, and I'm carried by the sound. Every drum, every single beat, they were born from your body, and I'm carried by the sound. Take my hand, take my everything. If we only got
What's your personal ethos on creation?
I have all these records that I hold dearly that have meant a lot to me, and to be able to actually make albums myself, and most importantly, travel around and play for these people that are actually listening to my work. That's why I do it, because that's the whole drive of it, for me at least.
What's the most intense experience you've had on stage in terms of that, like, kind of connection?
We went to the Ukraine once. We were on this Russia-Ukraine tour, and we were taking the train, the night train, between all these cities that I never heard of, and I think it was in a city called Dnipropetrovsk. First of all, this city was really grey and smoky, and it was only known for their murders.
Oh my god.
Yes.
Wait, what do you mean? Like, they're serial killers?
Yeah, we were googling the city, and that was like the headline. Oh, there have been so many murders here. So we went into the city and didn't expect much, but then the whole city came, and it was just really warm, and we had to hug all these crying, sweaty old men because they loved the show, and that was really strange, but really intense and really beautiful, I think.
Wow. Yeah, it's just never what you expect.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so beautiful. So you did a train tour of all of Russia or Ukraine?
No, it was only 5 days, I think.
Yeah.
That was enough. That was really, really cool.
Yeah. I'm sorry, that was a contentious thing to call Ukraine Russia, but I didn't mean it like that. I just meant that area, the general.
It's probably
going to
be
vicinity.
One country soon anyway.
So. I know, yeah. Wow. Yeah, there's so much about doing what we do that is that being in between spaces,
yeah.
Like being in transit from one place to another. That kind of takes a strange psychic toll sometimes, because you can start to feel like, I am here, I am there, I am nowhere.
Yeah, exactly.
But it also means that you get good at, like, embracing whatever the moment is and going, if there's experience to be had, let's have it, because we have to be present in order to even come close to even, you know, grabbing onto whatever this strange ride is.
Yeah.
But that's the other great thing about getting to tour and do this, is that, you know, you can read about something in a newspaper and get some sort of sense of what's going on, but the best way to find out what's going on is to talk to the people, you know, to get to actually get a sense of what it's like in a place, because it's very easy to be, you know, myopic if you haven't been somewhere and assume that, you know, however you were raised is the, not the right way, but just is how it is. But it's nice you get to just actually really see the world.
Yeah.
Popkamera.
I'm quite fond of the latest Tim Hecker record, Rave Death 1979.
Two.
That's what it's called? 1972. Okay, it's called Rave Death 1972.
Cool.
I get it confused with the band Death From Above 1979. Yeah.
Da skal vi høre litt av stykket In the Fog med Tim Hecker. Og det var det vi hadde I popkammer I dag I denne juleferieutgaven, som var riktig så ujulete. Men det som Hilma Nikolaisen sa I episode 9, at jula en tid hvor man får tid til å høre på musikk, så jeg håper du har fått noen tips som du kan kose deg med, mens du spiser noe godt med noen du glad I. Gledelig jul, og takk for at du hørte på. Vi høres! Kameret.